Hey guys, welcome back and welcome in. Thanks for hitting the download button one more time. Thanks for joining us. I am Pastor Dave. Sitting with me, Randall the Armor Bearer. We are
They the Believe.
This is where church culture meets pop culture. We talk entertainment news, geek news, current events, world news, all filtered through a lens of lifestyle Christianity. Gretchen has taken me to task before about saying armor bearer too fast, perhaps, or she's hearing armor bear like rawr, like a bear. Yes. I don't know. I wonder if people even, if they're hearing me clearly or know what I'm saying or know what that is, or armor bar.
That started with Gerald, didn't it?
Kind of slur it, don't I? Gerald who?
Gerald Simmons, when he came to the church.
Did it?
I think so.
Yeah. What are you talking about? What do you remember hearing him say?
What? No, he came to the church, and you're introducing me as your armor bearer.
Yeah. Gerald, minister friend of mine, he's in North Carolina now, I think. I can't recall the church, but super good dude, and I don't know how far our voices are reaching, but anybody in the North Carolina area, I can't imagine, would not know or not have heard of Gerald. So let's see, where are we? We got so much stuff that we could cover and talk about. I've been debating whether or not to start here. Let's start here, and you don't let me linger too long,
okay?
Because we got other good stuff to chat on. I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole. And plus, I get mad. And here's the thing. I wanted to talk some about the ongoing violence, what we saw in Dallas and Baton Rouge and all that kind of stuff, just very loosely. Of course, the Democratic National Convention coming up. And that, has it started yet?
It starts today or tomorrow.
Tomorrow, probably. Yeah. Okay. It's Sunday. As we sit here and talk, of course, it's crazy doing these things now pre-recorded because who knows what's going to happen in the next 24 hours. I know when we sat down last time, we were doing our game pod at the kitchen table. I referenced something like that. We would wait and get around to it later. And then in that window, there was more violence in Baton Rouge and all this kind of stuff. I'll start here to kind of work my way into things. I had said in here earlier in the year that it was very unlikely that I was going to vote this year, or vote at least in the presidential election. Although, well, let me be honest, when I said that, I probably meant
everything.
I was also going to use it as an excuse to be lazy and not vote at all. I have since changed my mind, and let me explain to you why that's significant, because others might go, well, who cares? You know, you're voting. You weren't going to vote. Now you are. It's significant to me on a personal level because it is the first time, it will be the first time in my entire life, in my voting life, which hasn't been very long, that I will not vote Democrat. Now, I have, since I registered to vote, and I registered to vote late in life, later, you know, I was not always one of these that, you know, some people are very, what's the word? Some people are, it's very important to them. And when they turn 18, it's one of the things that they're going, that's on their list, you know. And there's an emphasis on voting rights. And I don't know that I always share that or espouse those, that, you know, it's so necessary and you must do it. Let me back up. It almost sounds like I'm being disparaging. We should. And I'm not saying that I would not discourage anyone from doing it. I would encourage people. I just with the added element that, you know, some people really don't want to. And there are legitimate reasons that some people may have for not wanting to participate. They may not be good reasons, but they may be theirs. I had those reasons earlier in the year. There's a whole number of reasons that I have changed my mind and will change my voting habits, and they're not all centered around the violence issues or the narrative of race racism that's out there right now. Primarily, kind of focusing on that for the moment, and I think I said this when we talked earlier about the candidates and mentioned Bernie for sure, because I really took him to task for it. I think maybe I did that in here, maybe I didn't. I don't know.
I think so. I think we did the going back and forth between Hillary, Bernie.
I know I was critical of all of them. I'm trying to remember though if I voiced all of my criticisms. If I don't know if I said this or not. the anti-law enforcement bent and for the sake of pushing a narrative. And here's the thing. Let me give you some examples of what I've even seen in the last few days. President Obama, who I have not really had a problem with, again, being a otherwise a lifelong Democrat, from the time I started voting, I have always voted straight party Democrat ticket.
Really?
Yep. Hmm. I cannot recall, I may have done it, but I cannot recall a time when I voted for an independent or a Republican. To my knowledge, to the best of my memory, every time I have gone into a voting poll, a voting booth, now I may be like a primary where I had to choose one Democrat over another, but I have always voted Democrat, and I vote a straight party ticket. And we've discussed some of the logic behind that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I did vote for Al Gore back in 2000.
Right.
And I think he would have actually been a better president than George W., but...
Could be. Those things are now kind of in our rearview mirror. Well, even the Obama term now in a rearview mirror. And and at the time that he was running, and this is kind of strange how far I've come around now, and I know I mentioned this before, I would have at one point in time been a Hillary supporter when he and Hillary were competing for the nomination, which President Obama later got. And that wasn't because I didn't support him. It was because at the time I was more supportive of her for a couple of reasons, maybe wrong reasons. One, I was a fan of Bill Clinton, and as peculiar as this is going to sound, this always draws a lot of weird looks from people. Even though I've just said I'm turning from Democrat and I'm going to vote Republican this year, if Bill Clinton was able to run again, I would probably vote for him. Now, how much sense that makes to people, I don't know. And mainly the only reason, the biggest reason for that, a couple of reasons. Clinton was a statesman and a diplomat. He was likable. World leaders liked him. People liked him. And you may say, well, he was an awful, or he was a scumbag personally. Maybe he was. But what I'm saying is, as a person for the job, as an employee, as a leader, he put the right face on things when he... anyway, that's neither here nor there. And two, we had more money in our pockets. We enjoyed a good financial state of being during the Clinton era. Prosperity. There's the word. And it was the first time, what, in 50 years or so when he was in office that we actually had a budget surplus. Anyway, nobody wants to talk about Clinton. He's gone. Although I feel bad for the dude. If you've seen him lately, he's looking really rough. He's really starting to show his age. Well,
that job does a number to anybody. Yeah. And then to think about his wife going through it too, that would.
Yeah. So, you know, back in, where are we at? 2008. Would that have been, when was President Obama start? When did he start his first term? 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's had 2 4-year terms. So, at that time, I was a Hillary Clinton supporter, I guess. Not vocal. I mean, like, I didn't go to rallies, and I wasn't on a mailing list. Or anything, not like that. But
didn't ever sign in the front yard?
No. Only if you would have asked me, I would have said I was voting. And also for universal health care. Mm-hmm. It was something that I've always been okay with. And honestly, the other plans I heard, even President Obama's, didn't go far enough for me, you know. But that was then. This is now. And he... the President Obama obviously won the election, two of them, twice now. And, you know, did we get all the hope and change we were supposed to get? No. But then again, if you're buying all that campaign hype and you think that one person, even the President of the United States, can go in and just magically make all these things happen, you're pretty naive.
Yeah, he's more of a figurehead now than anything.
But in fairness, too, now, that's their own fault. For building up and saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And the wiser ones among us look and go, I don't think you're going to be unilaterally able.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get that move through Senate, Congress, anything, you know.
There's protocols and a balance of power and things like that. So, what the Obama presidency will look like in the history books, who knows. Probably a lot of disappointed people. Because it was hyped so much.
I like Carter, you know, came in good and strong and then, you know, just piddled away towards the end.
Well, starting with President Obama, when he had an opportunity this last week or so to go to the memorial for the Dallas police officers. And these are all kind of, I'm going to kind of throw out anecdotal examples that come to mind, because if I talk about one example, that doesn't mean it started there. This is just the state of being that we're in that I can't abide. He goes down there. He begins his talk with what great heroes they are, and the families mourn, and the death of a public servant impacts us all. All the things that you would expect him to say, all of the things that he should say. And then at that point, what's the next thing to do?
Shut up.
Sit down and shut up. You're exactly right. I'm glad we're tracking. But he couldn't do that.
Nope.
And he had to continue. And then we still have things in this country that we need to address. And some of us even have, even if we don't know it, we have racist thoughts and on and on and on. And I'm just, and it makes my blood boil. One, because it's not true.
Right.
And I'm like, don't speak for me. That's not true. Quit pushing that narrative. Hillary has done the same thing and basically have legitimized this whole Black Lives Matter movement. And I just can't abide it. And for all the reasons we've covered in here, and if you didn't catch it before, or if I wasn't as direct as I should be, here's the thing, especially about the Black Lives Matter movement as a movement. When you chart it back to Ferguson and Michael Brown and Darren Wilson, that's right. That whole exchange that ended up with Michael Brown being killed, that, correct me if I'm wrong, is that not the tipping point or the point of origin for this Black Lives Matter movement?
That, and you know, I think that Trayvon Martin happened right about the same time.
But I'm talking when this movement started.
Yeah, I'd say.
Was that not the point when it became...
That's the first time they tore up the town and started burning people down.
Well, that's been happening, you know, for years. But what I'm saying is that specifically this movement, is that not when it started? I mean, maybe you don't know. I'm not trying to pin you down.
No, I mean, I would say that's when it all, when the movement started. I don't know if they called it that back then, but that's when this movement towards the anti-law enforcement.
So here we go. And this narrative of racism. And I'm not going to revisit all of the Ferguson incident. It's well documented. It's been investigated even up to the Department of Justice. But here's what you need to know, and here's what you need to know about the Black Lives Matter movement and the well that you already know. But hands up, don't shoot. It was a lie. It was a lie from day one. Chokehold death. We talked about that in New York.
Right.
It's a lie.
There's no chokehold.
Freddie Gray in Baltimore. All five, I think, at this point, all of the officers who have been to trial so far have been acquitted. And it may be all of them. They may be all done. And the prosecutor, the politically ambitious prosecutor who brought that, is, you know, there's disbarment procedures against her because it was politically motivated.
Right.
And now we've got Hillary Clinton, and she's been doing the same things and pushing this false racial narrative, and the media helping, of course. And here's what happens. You say, well, what's the big deal, or why don't we need to have an honest dialogue about these things? Well, but we're not.
Right. We're getting one side of it.
There is no honest dialogue. And let me add this. If we're continuing to dialogue about it day after day after day after day and nothing's changing, we're wasting our time.
Right.
The dialogue is wasting our time because really, here's my assertion. That we're trying to dialogue about a narrative that does not exist. Now, I'm not saying there aren't racist people in the world. Of course there are. Anecdotally, there are racist people in the world. Some of them extreme racist. Do we have and I don't know. I don't know if you consider this controversial or not. Do we have a systemic, institutional racism problem in America? Well, our black president, who was elected for two terms... And our first legitimate female candidate for president say we do. Are you kidding me?
Right.
The majority of Americans went to the polls and elected this gentleman twice. That says something to me. Does that mean because he's elected, racism has disappeared? Of course not. What I'm pushing back against is this idea that there's systemic and institutional racism. Because here's what that does, and here's why it's poison. And I would even suggest, even if you think it's true, we really kind of need to stop saying it. Because what we're doing is, when you go to a memorial for people, or when you legitimize false narratives or continue to say things, hands up, don't shoot, and chokehold death, and all this nonsense, you're inflaming and pushing people. You're okay. We're telling people that they're victims. And you're a victim. You're being held down because of the system, and it's all stacked against you, and it's the institution, and there's nothing you can do because it's padded against you because of all this institutional, all this, it's poison. It's poison. So when you convince somebody that they're a victim and there's nothing they can do, that's where they're going to stay. That does not empower people.
No.
Do you understand what I'm saying? If I can convince you that, you're a victim and everything is stacked against you and there's no way on your own that you can succeed, what do we get? We get people who are in state of desperation who feel that, again, this narrative that you know, young black men are under attack. They've got a target on their back and they're under attack by the police. And there's no data. There's no numbers to support this.
Ivan, before we got this podcast, I looked to see just if there were any numbers at all that would support anything.
Tell me what you found.
Nothing. I mean, there's no...
What did you find in the numbers?
Well, I was looking at the, you know, the cause of death for black males in the world, in the United States mainly. And
18 to 34, 35. What's the number one cause of death? Homicide. Okay, go on.
And, you know, the number one cause of death, period, for black folks in general is abortion. And if you want to get a Black Lives Matter movement, why don't you start working on that end of it a little bit, you know?
All right. It hits us from another angle. Okay.
Well, I mean, because it was kind of staggering. I went to the U.S. statistical book, the stat disc, and abortion ranges for African-American population is somewhere in the, like, 50% of abortions when they're only like 20% of the population. So it's 400,000 a year.
That segment of our culture, that ethnic group of blacks or African Americans, are disproportionate in numbers in all kinds of categories.
Right.
That does represent a problem. So let me start here with you. Let's start as broadly as we can start. Let's start with gender, male, female. And let's talk about police, okay? Male, female, who's getting killed more by the police? I know you don't have the numbers in front of you, but take an educated guess. You're probably right on it.
Male.
Males. Yeah. Okay. Why might that be? Speculate. Why would males get killed more frequently by police than women?
I would figure that the police could probably overpower a woman easier than they could a male. You know,
You're overthinking it.
Am I?
Who commits a majority of the crime?
Okay, males.
Right. 16 to 24, I think. 16, 24, 25. Males commit more crime. Okay. Just whether you like that idea or not, you know, am I sexist for saying that?
No, it's average numbers.
It's true. Right? No one would disagree with me. I'm not sexist because I've made the statement that men commit more crime than women. Okay, now let's break that down beyond that. Well, let me ask you this then. Is there a police war on men? Do men in this country have a target on their backs?
The media is not talking about it if there is.
Right? Why not that narrative?
Right.
Why are police killing men at such a dramatic rate? Well, because they commit more crime and they get in fights with the cops.
Right.
And they take shots at the cops. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Then, if everybody's good and on board with that, now if you're not good with that far, you need to turn off right now because it's gonna get worse.
Yeah.
So let's go down to the next rung. Who's the next in that subgroup of men? Right. Now, from what I see from the numbers, I'm not going to say this as a matter of fact, but that white males get killed by police at a 2-to-1 rate. Now, above black males. So there's your narrative. But so we're talking about crime stats. Males 16 to 35 or whatever it is commit more crime, obviously, than women or any other Americans, which would just be women, I guess. Women or other Americans.
You never know nowadays.
Gender's fluid, right?
Yeah.
So let's go down to the next subgroup. Okay. Who among that group of men, 16 to 24, who's committing most of the crime?
Oh, you're looking at me?
If you want to say it. I know you know the answer.
Yeah, black males.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a couple of ways you can look at that. Now, your racist will say, see, black people are predisposed to crime. Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Now, here's, if you'll stay with me, because now we're getting to the root of the real problem. Mm-hmm. They're committing a lion's share of the crime, and why? Go ahead, speculate.
Well, I would say that the actual family unit in the black community is not as strong. The fathers tend to tend to not be around. And if you have anybody growing up in that kind of environment with no male role model, I mean, you're bound to have more stuff
you're
like
right
that happen.
You're right on it. It is the breakdown of the family, right? Mm-hmm. If there's all this institutional systemic racism, why aren't black women getting killed by police? Mm-hmm. Are they just racist against male blacks? They're not racist against female blacks? Why are other ethnic groups not having contact with the police?
Well, they don't have contact with the police. I mean, you never see a Indian guy mm-hmm. or, very few Hispanic people get in really mm-hmm. conflicts with
Asian.
The police.
Never. Asian community. Yeah. They actually, I've been told this, so I don't know this to be fact, but I've been told that in portions of the country where they have a large Asian community, mm-hmm. they actually like the police.
Yeah.
Or they're fans of the police.
Giving free food and stuff. Now, in the Asian community also, if you go to jail or you commit a crime, you're ostracized from the community.
See? There you go. Mm-hmm. It's antithetical to the culture.
Right.
Right? Not in our culture. Now, what do we do? We start making excuses. Well, again, why? Why are you going to jail? Mm-hmm. Why are you getting arrested by the cops? Why are you standing on a street corner selling drugs? Why are you doing? None of it's your fault. You're a victim. Mm-hmm. You're a victim.
Right.
Everything is stacked against you. It's systemic. It's institutional. Now, let's go back and look at our history, because I'll tell you what that is. That is it's an ideology of the Democratic Party that has existed in one form or another since slavery. Mm-hmm. And when we sought to end slavery as a country, Democrats, now, of course, the parties are different. They look mm-hmm. different than they did then.
Right.
But stay with me for sake of the point I'm about to make. Democrats were the ones that wanted to continue slavery.
Right.
And a lot of the argument and the debate that they used involved entitlements. Mm-hmm. Yeah, slavery is not so great, but look, they get housing mm-hmm. and food and health care and on and on and on and on and on. The same things that they're trying to do today.
Right.
You can't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. You're a victim. We'll make all these entitlements for you. It's a plantation mentality. Mm-hmm. And listen to me, folks, lest your triggers are going off and you're thinking because we're speaking the truth about numbers that's somehow racism. What I have just outlined for you is racism. Mm-hmm. It is a soft bigotry.
Right. If that had never been instituted, they wouldn't have any of the problems they're having today.
It's plantation bigotry that we're seeing even today. Mm-hmm. We'll do this for you. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. And it does not address the problems.
No.
What are the problems? There's no fathers in the home.
Right.
Any policeman, any criminologist, any scientist, sociologist will tell you the single biggest predictor of future crime is a single parent home. Again, that's just true. Now, that's not an indictment of single parents.
Right.
Single parents find themselves single parents and then have to do everything they can mm-hmm. to survive. It's an indictment of fathers.
Right.
That aren't present. And it's an indictment of the country and the culture, this subculture, because I've said before, I know I've said it in here, the problem is not a race problem. It's a culture problem. Mm-hmm. And it only seems to exist in these particular ethnic groups. The Asian community, the Jewish communities, the Eastern Indian communities, mm-hmm. they're not experiencing this. And you've nailed it. I could ask you why, but you've nailed it. An emphasis on family.
Strong family values.
And education. Mm-hmm. Family and education. Family and education. Family and education.
And, you know, And those communities, if they do mess up, they're taking a task for it from their family. You know,
that's it.
And
well, that's the family structure.
And this, it seems like in African American communities that if they mess up, it's just, oh well, just another one. You know,
it's you're a victim,
right?
You're a victim of the system,
mm-hmm.
And they have been indoctrinated with that soft bigotry from the left in this country. And guess what, folks? They believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, some have been inflamed so much that we're taking to the streets, we're blocking traffic, and if we get a chance, we're going to shoot cops, because they're the most visible, right. Immediate symbol.
There's where the rubber meets the road.
They are the most immediate visible symbol of this institutional racism that we've sold to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, it's all a lie. I refuse to believe it. I refuse to accept it. I'm not going to be told that, well, you have racist thoughts, and everybody does. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
Show me where somebody is mistreating or behaving in a, you know, I don't know what people think. And maybe people do hold some kind of prejudice deep down that they're not even aware of. I mean, how do you treat people?
I judge people on their character. I don't care if they're black, white, Hispanic. It doesn't matter to me, but... Now, if they've showed to me that they have poor character, then that's how I judge them.
Sure. Know? Well, so this is one for me, and now I don't know if it's true or not. Somebody saw some reports that suggest that Hillary Clinton had invited, or the DNC had invited to speak, you know, Michael Brown's mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, all the memes are starting with her previous tweets about how happy she is over dead cops and all this kind of stuff. And it's just a bridge too far for me. I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying the victim mentality. I saw something the other day. A friend of a clergy friend had posted something about how she had come to understand, this person was also clergy, which was really disturbing. She had come to understand that racism was just a white problem, and that she struggles daily to work through her white guilt and all this. And I'm like, there is somebody that is full of drinking the Kool-Aid.
Right. Flavor-Aid.
The Flavor-Aid, 100%. Now, there are other issues for me. There are religious liberty issues and stuff we've talked in here about. And I'm all for rights. I'm all for civil rights. But, again, this new left is regressive. Mm-hmm. We're going back to plantation mentality of the old Democrats. We're going back. Things that are supposed to pass for civil rights struggles now come at the cost of others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not rights. It's regressive. It's like,
right.
it rather than being equal or equity, we're going to give over here but take over here.
Rather than deal with the problem, we're going to try to, you know, make the laws.
I have a right to do this, but you don't have a right to do that. This kind of thing. And, you know, I'm fine with people doing whatever they want to do and living however they want to live. But once you start trampling on everyone else or other religious liberties, you know, you can't just run all over the First Amendment. You can't run all over the Civil Rights Act, oddly enough, mm-hmm. which is why we have the Civil Rights Act. But you don't see these things done on a congressional level or even on a state level. They're done with these human rights commissions and civil rights commissions.
Right.
My concern is, though, that's the mood and the ideology of the party right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody that represents me. And you probably saw this today, too, that there's now another email scandal. The emails got exposed. You touched on this when we first brought this conversation up.
Mm-hmm.
You were a little bugged about, I don't know that you were a Bernie supporter, but you felt like Bernie wasn't getting a fair shake, that was kind of getting run over by the DNC and the superdelegates and all that. So have you seen all this stuff today about that?
Yeah.
Apparently you were onto something there.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
No.
You know,
if you told us, you told us.
I see, you know, Bernie Sanders was kind of he wasn't on the inside. And that's probably one of the scariest things that the Democrats could see right now, is somebody that wasn't on the inside track with them. And, you know, Trump's the same way. He's not really a Republican insider. He's not a Washington insider even.
And the other side of that was the big complaint about the Clintons, mm-hmm. or the criticism that they are the system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they are the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's weird because I have mixed feelings about, now that this whole thing has been, the scandal or whatever it is, has been revealed. I kind of have mixed feelings. I don't I don't like it on the surface because it's sketchy, and that's not the way. Mm-hmm. That's not the way the system is supposed to run.
Yeah, it should be transparent all the time.
But at the same time, I'm not bothered at all that Bernie got showed the door.
Poor Bernie.
Here's what I don't get, and maybe it just hasn't been explained or articulated to me well enough, but I'm listening to all this stuff that he's out there, his platform, and I kind of think, you know, is this a joke? Because didn't we fight wars to fight these kind of policies? We fought entire wars.
We fought the communists back then.
Right. The Cold War is over, you know?
But, I mean, when you look at Bernie's character, his actual character, his actual personal character.
Sure.
He's a good guy.
He's not a bad dude. He cares about people.
Right.
You don't propose those kind of things without being concerned for people, although, you know, entitlements and all that I think is misguided, maybe for...
Right, and he would never have got any of that stuff to go through, but I feel like as a president, he would have probably been one of the more compassionate ones we've had.
Well, I think for me, it's who's pushing the needle. It's not that Bernie can do this or Trump can do this or, you know, well, famously we sat here and talked, Obama couldn't do half the stuff. It's more for me, who's pushing the needle of the culture? Mm-hmm. You know, do I want a Bernie culture? Do I want more Hillary Clinton culture with all of the racism and the religious liberty issues and all this stuff that we've already covered? Do I want more of that? Because, I mean, you know, Trump ain't no saint.
But, you know, I feel like
he's
now,
pretty sketchy himself. But I'm like, who is just culturally going to push the needle back the other way?
We probably need a couple of years of Trump just to toughen up some folks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, some of these kids that need safe spaces.
We need a maturity injection.
Right.
But then again, it's all a gamble because does that make it better or make it worse?
Yeah.
Well, I think will they just react and push back? Or
I don't think it could get much worse with some of these kids, but I think it'll get better.
Well, you know, will they just double down and dig in on their, now that they have somebody to fight?
Yeah, as long as they don't want to eat or something, you know.
Yeah, because I'm just not, I just didn't get that with the Bernie thing. And people call it socialism. I'm like, it seems just a step shy of communism.
Yeah.
You know, at what point is it okay to keep taking from somebody and giving to another? Especially when I don't have a problem with government programs. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with assistance. I don't have a problem with paying taxes for services for government programs. But if we're not addressing the root problems, which you and I have already kind of nailed down, we're not going to help it by continuing to take money from people and throw entitlements at other people. It's not helping.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've created a culture of people who think they're victims.
Well, I was telling my girls the other day, they were complaining about something. And I said, look, if you've got running water in your house and $2 in your pocket, you're better off than 90% of the world.
Right.
You know, and how can you sit in America and complain about all the stuff that's going on? You know, when you're sitting there with a refrigerator that's got cold food in it and watching the TV on cable and, you know, central heat and air and all that stuff,
we can literally walk a few feet to a refrigerator and eat 24 hours a day.
Right. And our toilets have cleaner water in it than most people drink in the entire world. You know,
let me tell you something embarrassing. That's funny. I shouldn't say this. This makes me sound like such an ugly American. Nathan and I were going to start something this year, once he's back at home and everybody's settled in and school starts up, it's a sport that we have. It's called Bang Bang. Have you ever heard of Bang Bang?
No.
I'm so embarrassed. We're so awful. You go to one place and you have a full meal, and then you leave and you go to another place and you have a full meal.
Oh my gosh.
Bang Bang. Like you go to the Chinese buffet and then you go get ribs or, you know, the idea is to, I guess Gretchen's come home. Yeah, she's come back from Alabama. The idea is, of course, you want to make them different. You know, you don't want to like go to Burger King, McDonald's. That's not a good bang bang.
Nate's going
to
throw up all over your car.
You know, you go to like Taco Bell and then the IHOP or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Bang bang. So anyway, hey, if you guys take that up, let me hear your bang bang stories.
Right.
So that's the way it works. You go, if you're up for it, you can go with us. You know, you just make a day of it. You go one place, you have sit down, have a big full meal, and you go someplace else and have another meal. Bang, bang. Oh, ugly Americans. Okay, let's go somewhere else. Ghostbusters. You see Ghostbusters?
Yes.
What'd you think?
It was okay. It wasn't. The effects were awesome, you know, and characters were actually pretty good. You know, the story was kind of not very good, but... the characters, the way they did it was pretty good, and the effects were really good.
What didn't you like about the story? I mean, what was missing there?
It just seemed boring. I mean, the...
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
It's an interesting criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily challenging you on the quality of the movie, but I'm just...
Yeah. I mean, because I watched it, and it just kind of dragged for me a little bit.
Well, we went. Gretchen wanted to see it. She's, one, is a big fan of the original.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to her childhood, and she's a big fan of that crew.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig, and, you know, she likes Bridesmaids mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So this was an easy sell
mm-hmm.
for her, so we took her to go see it. I liked it more than I would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
I was pleasantly surprised. A few things. It also shows you that marketing and trailers are everything, because mm-hmm. the marketing and the trailers were bad.
Right, yeah.
They really made a lot of missteps. And
have you noticed that the action figures are already on the clearance shelf at Walmart?
Really?
Yeah. Before the movie came out, they went on the clearance shelf.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, they may have flooded the market with them or something. They may just had too many.
Hmm. Yeah. That may be an overall thing, too, though. It seemed like there are way more
mm-hmm.
action figures and toy tie-ins than there were when we were kids. I mean, I know there were a lot.
Right.
But it was basically Star Wars and I don't know what else. Was there maybe a couple others from the 80s?
But he had like TV crossovers where you'd get the TV action figure, you know, the Knight Riders and Mr. T 18 type stuff.
Now sometimes maybe they just try too hard to make a toy tie-in. I don't know if this was I don't know if this was the thing for it. But anyway, yeah, there was a lot of missteps with marketing in the trailer, and Paul Feig, whatever his name is, the director
mm-hmm.
who's done all these movies with the Bridesmaids and all that. He bought himself some ill will too, because when that trailer came out and people reacted negatively to it because it looked awful, it made the movie look awful.
Right.
It didn't make me want to go see your movie.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a very reactionary response, which was, well, it's your fault because you're all a bunch of sexists and you don't want to see women. And and that just rang pretty hollow.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, dude, your trailer looks bad. Your movie just doesn't look good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it felt like, oh, God, here we go. We're doing, Fantastic Four. We're circling the wagons and already sandbagging.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Our movie's good. And you just don't like it because of whatever. It's your fault. It's your fault you don't like it.
You don't like the black guy playing the Johnny Storm.
That's yeah, right. It's my fault I don't like it. So, we made a good movie. You're just not smart enough to like it. So, then having seen it, I'm like, okay, well, this is better than, you know, when we sat here and talked about it and I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, it looks awful. No, it really wasn't. It was okay.
I mean, I put it better than Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, right. The first act I thought was the strongest, because these actors and their characters really are the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can CG up with the monsters and the ghosts and stuff, but when you get, you know, Kristen Wiig and, I almost said Andrew McCarthy, Melissa McCarthy, different actor.
Yeah, totally separate people.
Not the same.
Maybe they are. I haven't seen him lately.
We're not actually brothers in real life, but merely portrayed them on television. So, but anyway, when you get, you know, Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy on screen together, mm-hmm. you know, they can pretty much be reading to each other out of the phone book and you're going to get something. It's
right.
going to be good.
Uh-huh.
You know, the second act, it kind of lost its way a little bit. It meandered. And the third act wasn't bad, but it all felt like, okay, we're in the formula now. It's all very paint by numbers.
Numbers. The ghost in the end where it comes out animated, like it starts out animated.
Oh,
horrible.
Yeah.
That was the worst I've ever seen.
I found Chris Hemsworth distracting.
Yeah, he had no place in the movie.
I mean, he did well.
Yeah,
but I really would have gone with somebody else for that.
I mean, they were trying to make it like the receptionist they had before, only a man.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't. It didn't cross over.
He played it to me. He felt like he was in a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hamming it a little too much and
right.
winking at the camera. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I maybe would have gone with somebody else. other than him. I like him. I would like Thor, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Really, so, about the car. Did you like the car?
Yeah, it was all right. The hearse.
The hearse.
Yeah.
I wish they'd have gone with the old hearse that they had in the first, the ambulance.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I didn't remember it being a hearse, and it wasn't, right?
No, it was an ambulance.
Okay, it was the old style. Well, that's why they couldn't do it, because those things don't exist anymore. Those ambulance, that style ambulance didn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can find them still.
But I mean, it would have been anachronistic for them. You know what I'm saying? You don't see them driving around. You see a hearse.
Well, I think, you know, in the original one, Dan Aykroyd's character, his uncle had one or something, and he borrowed it from his uncle.
Well, that's what the story in this one. It was Leslie Jones's uncle that had it. So, speaking of her, did you see all the Twitter dust up about that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, Lord. She, Leslie Jones, who was in Ghostbusters, she got a bunch of nasty. The trolls went after her.
She got on the troll decks.
Yeah, and it broke her down, and she had to flee from Twitter in, tears. And, now I don't want to make too. I don't want to be too minimizing about it, because here's what happened. The stuff that she was getting was really, really bad. Really bad. I mean, it was the worst kind of racial stuff that, I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, and I'm not excusing it all, because there is no excuse for it. It didn't make you sick. It was really bad. But what I didn't see a lot of people seem to get is, once it started and she gave a reaction, it was trolls using fake accounts trying to do exactly to what they did.
Yeah.
Exactly what they did. They engaged her. And once they engaged her and she went to war, and they won. They broke her down till she left Twitter crying. Now, here's the peculiar thing about it. Somebody got ejected from Twitter permanently who really had nothing to do with it. It's Milo Yiannopoulos. Do you know him? He's a he works for Breitbart. Actually, I think he's their tech editor or something, but he's a conservative commentator, basically. And he's a real character. He's a real bigger-than-life kind of character. He's and I don't mean this is just true. This is going to sound like I'm insulting him. I'm not. He's super gay. He's very. He is.
Like
he's
that's a very, superpower.
He's very.
It's like regular gay, but I wear a cape.
He exactly. Exactly. He's very flamboyant, and a weird, occupies a weird place in this whole, in the culture, in this discussion, because he's a conservative commentator, and he will dismantle Black Lives Matter and pay gap and all this nonsense that we've talked about in here. So a lot of the people don't know what to do with him, but you'll see him on a lot of the conservative talk shows and stuff. Well, anyway, but Milo's thing is he's not shy or reserved. I mean, he speaks very candidly, very candidly, and he's very bigger than life. He is a character almost. But he wrote a scathing review of this Ghostbusters, and specifically Leslie Jones, and just eviscerated her for her performance and for this movie. And this may be in dispute, but he may or may not have encouraged people that followed him to share their dislike of the movie or their criticism or whatever. He never said do anything like this. You know, it was never a racist. But, you know, the trolls on the internet, the first thing they could go to was some awful, awful racial stuff. But Twitter then went back, and somehow or another, they kind of laid all this at his feet. And he'd been warned in the past about stuff and inciting hate speech or whatever. You know, here we are, right? It's the new left.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they kicked him off Twitter for good.
And I always wonder, because, you know, have you ever watched that John Oliver show? He, like, every show he's got something he does that, like, is on Twitter, you know, hashtag something. One year it was one of the Slavic country's president. He was, like, going on this rail about this guy. And the guy was, like, just a comic book character. He put up on Twitter that he was looking for his lost kitten. And, you know, so the hashtag was find such and such as kitten.
Right.
And so everybody was showing pictures of their cats and asking if this was his kitten, you know. But I mean, it was like millions of people.
Yeah.
So I wonder how he doesn't, he gets away with stuff like that. But now, because there's something like that every week, it's hilarious. I've been keeping that.
Well, if it has no political element to it. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I don't know. You, it's weird because, you know, Milo's one of those kind of people that's loved or hated. But I just didn't see that this, he kind of deserved that. Mm-hmm. You know, but somebody had to take the fall for it. And two, you know, you can't even get in the conversation on the internet because that's my whole thing. I said, and I'm, the behavior is horrible. There's no excuse for it. I'm not excusing the behavior. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is there's an element of put on, of play pretend about it.
Right.
These people are doing this deliberately to get a reaction. Ooh. If she would have not engaged them, mm-hmm. it would have went away.
Well, you can put anything up anonymously about anybody. Right. I mean, you're going to have problems. You know, you're going to have people out there doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Topics.
And it is bullying. It's the worst form of bullying. It's mocking.
You ever seen that website?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the prime example of just, you know, people that hide behind yeah. the computer screens and say whatever they want
to. I'm actually probably going to bleep over the name of the website because I don't want to give them any press at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm cool that you said it, but I don't want to give them any publicity at all.
No.
All right. Well, moving on. There's a couple other things I want to cover before we get out. So, yeah, we went to see Ghostbusters. We had a good day out. And we I went to Red Lobster. Not been in Red Lobster in a long time. And Gretchen actually suggested it.
Hmm.
And she's not doing, because I'm one of those kind of people, you know, if it swims or crawls on the ocean floor, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I can eat all that stuff.
I'm not a big fan of lobster, but I like everything else.
She's not either. She don't want to do lobster or shrimp, but she'll eat crab.
Man, I love shrimp. I love crabs with mussels, you know, yeah, anything yeah. along that line, but I just don't like lobster for some reason.
That's weird.
Because
mm-hmm. it's not a far stretch from crab, I don't think. But
yeah, I think I had some that was not maybe prepared right one day or something, yeah. and just kind of ruined it.
Oh, that could be. That could mm-hmm. be. But she wanted to go there, so we went there. It was fun. And, of course, I ate way too much. It was Crab Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, by the time I left, I'm just saturated. My body is saturated. In drawn butter.
Garlic is coming out of your pores.
Yeah, it's just butter and regret, man. Yeah. Just butter and regret. But, you know, the best part of going there, too, is the cheddar biscuits, right? Uh-huh. The cheese biscuits. And we had already asked, and the server was super nice. We'd already asked her two or three times to bring us back more biscuits. Well, Gretchen didn't finish all her food, and I kind of did something mean. I was kind of evil. She didn't finish all her food. She won't put it in a box, take it home.
Mm-hmm.
We had like two biscuits left,
uh-huh.
and she's like, "Well, I want to get her to bring me some more biscuits." Now, at this point, we're just boxing food to take home.
so
she wanted to put those biscuits in there and get some more biscuits.
Yeah.
So I said, "Well, tell her to bring you some more." She's like, "Well, I still got two here. She won't bring me." I said, "Well, she brought us. We had like a couple before, and she brought us more."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "So you know, yeah, go ahead, do it. You know." So
they probably cost them like 5 cents a piece to make.
So I'm in there, and I'm like adding to the ruse. You know, I'm like, oh, we'll take the napkin and cover them up this way, so it looked like there's nothing in there. You know, because she didn't take the basket before.
Oh, okay,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes back, and I'm eating, and I'm kind of watching. I'm looking under my eyes, you know, and I'm watching. She goes, "Will you bring us some more biscuits?" And she's like, "Sure." And sure enough, dude, she reaches over to grab that. Now, what happens? Right? Do you let her take that? Of course, if she takes it, uh-huh. she's going to discover that yeah. you had two in there and you was trying to score some more biscuits.
Uh-huh.
Or do you just, no way, man. Gretchen goes, "Oh, no. There's still, what?" And they had this moment. I loved it, dude. I'm just sitting there just relishing it.
The cover-up is always worse than
yes.
the lie ever
exposed.
Is.
Exposed.
Yeah.
Exposed. But she wasn't going to let go of those biscuits, buddy. She's like, "No." But she brought us some more. So, anyway, it was awesome. I ain't been to Red Lobster in a long time.
I love that. I love Red Lobster and Olive Garden. Those are two of my favorites.
Yeah, I could do Olive Garden. It's not necessarily my.
They're breadsticks. Whew. Man, I could overdo that in a heartbeat.
Salad and breadsticks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, seems weird that we're getting to this at the end. I shouldn't have rambled so long at the front. The last couple of days, yesterday, Saturday, big day for news out of San Diego Comic-Con, mm-hmm. man. Oh, we got all kinds of good trailers, all kinds of stuff. And they were all, everything that I watched was good. Well, yeah. No, take that back. I watched one I didn't like. Wonder Woman, Justice League, Kong Skull Island, Blair Witch, Doctor Strange. Neither was one I was trying. What was the one I didn't like? Oh, something with Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy playing King Arthur. It looked awful.
Yeah,
it looked like a CG fest.
We're not in that place in the world right now.
No, it looked like an awful lazy CG fest.
Yeah, you know, like how the westerns come back every now and then. You have the night movies every now and then. We're not in that phase yet.
Movies. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it could be done well, but I didn't like what they were going for. It looked a little too sleek, and
they could never beat Sean Connery playing King Arthur.
No, they're going to put a rock star soundtrack on it, and overload it with CG.
That Knight's Tale,
let's be unconventional. And
now that was a good movie with Heath Ledger in it.
Sure. It can be done well, but this didn't look it at all. Mm-hmm. So the Wonder Woman trailer looked great. There's really nothing I have to say about it other than I think they're, from what it looks like, they're spot on.
Yep. Chris Pine's actually a good cast for that movie. They kind of work good together, it seems like.
Yeah. I'm not real big on him, but I'm okay. I'll go with him.
I'm good with him in Star Trek. Not anything else he does.
I don't know. He would not have been Captain Kirk for me.
Really? I think that's part of the new Star Trek.
Nope. Justice League, what are your thoughts on that? That's the big one for me.
Man, I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
It did not look great.
Yeah.
Man, it looked great.
Aquaman looks just killer. I mean, just awesome.
Yeah, he didn't do too much in the trailer other than...
drink.
Look mad.
Yeah.
What's he mad about?
I don't know.
He couldn't even talk to him.
The only power he has is talking to fish.
Yeah, who's this man? I need to find this man. He grabbed him by the throat, and he's looking all mean, and like, maybe because he's drunk. I don't know.
Maybe. he's got a past.
We got our first good look at Flash and Cyborg. Mm. Super pleased with Cyborg.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Straight off the page. Yeah. Cyborg looks great.
And I'm really impressed with Flash, because when the Batman movie came out, I wasn't too impressed with Flash, but... now I am. I think I like it.
Yeah. Well, you didn't get much of him anyway. Mm-hmm. They obviously, with the Flash's suit, have gone for Injustice Gods Among Us, which he had a more armor-looking kind of suit. That would not really... I'm okay with it, and it does look great. Would not have been my first choice. But someone else also pointed out, I saw today in an internet forum, that it may not stay that way. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what he's wearing or using as Bruce finds him and all that.
Right.
You know, he may move into something else.
Kind of like Tony Stark changed up the Spider-Man suit a little bit.
Yeah. He may move into something a little more familiar, or maybe not. Either way, it's not bad. So I'm totally down with it. What else did I mention? Kong Skull Island, which looks pretty good. It's one of those that it had the potential. Has the potential to be really bad, but
I'm a big fan of King Kong. Even when they're bad, they're still kind of good. I mean, the one with Jack Black was horrible.
Well, this has got John Goodman, Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson. John Goodman looks just great in it.
I'm sure that's like his role.
Yeah,
I'd imagine
it looks he looks wonderful in that.
Now, I didn't see him when he was in 10 Cloverfield Lane. That just didn't seem like him to me.
Yeah,
it just wasn't his place. I don't think.
Yeah, is it just him or is it just the movie or both?
The movie was bad, but I think him in it was just not the good.
Like, if the movie had been better, would you have bought him more?
No, I don't think so.
No, just didn't work.
Mm-mm.
What else? There was one. What did we miss? Kong Skull Island,
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, which didn't move the needle for me one way or another. I mean, it's a movie I'll go see, but I don't know. If anything, maybe it places made me a little queasy. I don't know about all the psychedelic.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I'm not real big on Doctor Strange anyway.
Right.
And I'm curious to see what the mainstream audiences will...
Kind of like that movie. You remember the movie Natural Born Killers?
Yeah.
It was just kind of like...
psychedelic and all over the place.
Yeah.
Gave
me a headache.
I'm curious. We'll see if mainstream audiences can, you know, because they're used to Captain America and Superman and, you know, are they going to be able to handle...
Yeah,
you know, Doctor Strange. I don't know. What's going on? Why is that happening? Who's he doing that?
You seen Batman the Killing Joke yet?
No. That actually will be in it'll be a one day run in theaters tomorrow or Tuesday. I think it was the 25th. Not 100% on that.
It's already out on the internet.
I don't know when the video release is. I was super excited about that. I was even going to suggest at one point that we make a trip to go catch it.
It's very edgy.
But I'm seeing some things I don't really like about it.
Yeah, it's, or it's super
talk
super
that I don't
edgy.
Like about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the original Alan Moore's original graphic novel is is pretty edgy and dark, but it's not that. It's not the content that was already there. It's stuff they've added that I'm hearing that I don't understand why, other than they knew they were going in with an R rating and
just went,
didn't want to go with Man, I'm forgetting one. Wonder Woman, Justice League, Doctor Strange. Oh, Blair Witch. That's the one. There was, in the last year or so, there was buzz, good buzz, around an upcoming horror movie called The Woods. And a lot of the internet insiders and the horror bloggers and stuff had been talking about this, and it's going to be really good. It is good, on and on. And what none of us knew until this week or yesterday is that The Woods was a code name for another Blair Witch movie. And the trailers didn't move the needle for me much one way or another. Again, it didn't make me super excited.
Did you like the original Blair Witch?
I did, but when I went to see it in the theater, when it originally came out, the people in the theater talked and vocalized through the whole movie.
Oh.
And because, you know, the nature, the form that the Blair Witch, the original, takes, where it's basically not home movies, but you know what I'm saying. It's shot by the people in the movie and on standard video cameras and stuff. When there's extra noise and outside noise, it's hard to hear. And it was, I spent most of that movie angry because I wanted to tell people to shut up.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked
it. I couldn't hear. And so it's not, that's not a reflection of the movie. That's a reflection of my experience.
I'm trying to remember how old I was when it came out. I was probably in my early 20s, I think, when it first came out. And that was the big date movie of that summer.
Really? Yeah.
So I was impressed. I liked it.
And that's a whole, that's another conversation we're going to have on another day. Just put it on your radar. But movie theater etiquette and behavior, and why people go to a movie to talk.
You've seen the, you've been to the Milan Ritz Theater?
I've never been there, believe it or not.
Man, it's so funny. They got this, like this thing comes before the credits that tells everybody to like be quiet during the movie and stuff.
Right.
But it's all the people that work there that are acting it out and telling them, you know, what they can't do and what they can't do. It's hilarious. You'll have to see it sometime.
They've done their own video in-house.
Right.
So, yeah, okay, I feel like we should have, I would have liked to have spent more time maybe talking about trailers and stuff, but I don't know, man. Maybe there's not that much to say. It looks great. If you haven't caught them yet, get on the internet and
They're all over the place.
Go watch Justice League trailer, and Suicide Squad's coming up.
When is that? That's next.
Yeah, it's August. I don't know what day.
I know Star Trek opens
middle of the month.
Now, didn't it open today or Friday?
I have like August 8th, 18th in my mind, something like that. I don't know. I could look it up, but ain't no reason to bother for a few more minutes. So that's gonna be cool, though. Maybe we'll get a trip up, maybe, and you can go. We'll get Nate and we'll go. And if you're up for it, we'll go watch Suicide Squad.
Awesome.
We'll do Bang Bang if you're up for it.
I don't know about Bang Bang.
Randall can't hang with the Bang Bang. You can't hang with the Bang Bang.
No.
Are you trying to? Are you still going to the gym? And
I got my own gym now.
Okay, you are still working. I haven't heard, because I know you got doing schoolwork, and once you started doing schoolwork, you stopped talking about going to workout.
Yeah, well, schoolwork does take up.
Are you doing them both?
Yeah, I'm actually on my last essay for my English class tonight. I'm gonna try to finish it up, but I started out with math, with algebra, and it was horrible. It was like the worst thing I've ever done in my life. And I've always been awesome at math, and I was having problems.
Really?
I was having big problems with it, but it was just that course, because you're supposed to take a course before it, like an introduction to college algebra.
Right.
And I thought, well, surely I don't need that. You know, so I went ahead and went on to college algebra.
You could have used it at least as a refresher.
I got you. But English seems to be going. I've got like a 95 average in English right now, so I'm doing pretty good in English.
I would expect that for you. I wouldn't think you'd have a problem with that. All right. Well, that's cool. Well, okay. As long as you're still trying to stay healthy and stuff, we won't. I won't corrupt you with bang bang. Maybe we'll hit the first spot before we can pick you up.
Maybe I'd have like an appetizer at the second spot and watch you guys throw up all over each other. I was like, no, I'll sit in the back seat. You guys just stay
That's for lightweights. That's for lightweights. All righty. Okay. Well, we'll call it a day for now. If you haven't yet, go visit us at facebook.com/theythatbelieve. Please give us a like, give us a share, and tell a friend. We love it when you tell a friend. Oh, yeah, I had a little spot featured on another podcast, the 53.5, which is the official Striper podcast. Mm-hmm. I did a little spot for them, which I think was on the last one. I don't remember if it aired in the last show or the show before that. Whatever. Anyway, if you're not aware, and you know Striper's my favorite band, they are, yes, the question I always get, are those guys still around? Yes, absolutely. They're still touring. They're actually getting ready to go out on their 30th anniversary tour for To Hell with the Devil.
Hmm.
That's coming up, and they haven't set a date for Tennessee yet, but I'll keep you informed on that.
Is Ted Cruz still playing with the band?
No. Don't even go down that road. But anyway, hey, what? So while I'm there, yeah, shout out to Matt, who does the Striper podcast. If you're curious and want to listen to them, if you're a fan or just want to know what's been going on with the band, Michael Sweet has got a new album out. He's with Striper. Man, the first song I heard, let me tell you guys this. I don't know. Okay, Striper's cool, and they've got new stuff. But listen, Michael Sweet, who is their singer and also sang with Boston, mm-hmm. he's got a new solo record out, and there's a video out. You can go catch it on YouTube. It's called Bizarre. It's the name of the song. Mm-hmm. It is stinking awesome.
Hmm.
Awesome. So they are doing great work. So shout out to Matt, 53.5, the Striper podcast. You can catch that at striper.com. And you can catch us at theythatbelieve.com. Presumably you already know that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. All right. Till we see you again, I'm Pastor Dave, sitting with Randall, the Armor Bearer. Retail Randall. We are
They That Believe.